Matthew chapter 5, the first 41 today. Now, Spurgeon taught that every preacher, should put this on their preaching schedule. Not one time, not two times, not even three. He said four times a year a preacher ought to preach on going the second mile. Going the second mile. Now, I talk about running 2 miles, the world record, the indoor record for running the 2 miles is 8 minutes, 3.4 seconds. Imagine that, running 2 miles in 8 minutes and 3 seconds. That's flying. That's flying. Now, when we ran track in high school, and some of those of us who ran track, a lot of us like to run the sprints. Get it over with. Run the 60 meters or the 100-yard dash. You know, you go back where, when I was in high school, it was a 100-yard dash. They wasn't running meters yet. So we ran the 100 or the 220 or the 440. I ran the 440, which was one time around. But when them 2 milers came out, that was a beast of another whole different thing. They ran around the track 8 times. And we would sit there and watch and see if anybody got laps. That was the whole thing. You watching a guy run the 2 mile, they watch and see if somebody got laps. It's a tough event. In the Army, they have something called the APFT. I think some of you military people know what that means. The Army Physical Fitness Test. They have them in the Air Force. They have them in the Navy. You're required to run 2 miles. And you have to run it under, I believe, 16 minutes. Elmer, is it 15? 1554. Some of y'all thinking, okay, I'm gonna follow little Jeremy and go to the military. Well, you better start planning. All right? We used to do it in the Department of Corrections, and folks start having heart attacks, so they cut off the running as part of the job. You know, they let you walk it. And I've seen the effect of it over the years of correction. Go, ain't nobody running to nothing. Everybody walking. So, what was Jesus talking about? He was saying if someone comes to you and compels you to walk 1 mile, he said, give them two. That's a stream. And the people would have looked at Jesus and said, man, what is you talking about? We can't stand these Roman soldiers, because a Roman soldier could just, you can be just sitting there with your family at a family gathering, and a Roman soldier could walk up to you and say, walk with me 1 mile, carry my bags, carry my equipment, and you had no choice. The penalty for denying a Roman soldier that 1 mile was death. So the Jews would have hated the Roman army for this situation here. So Jesus says, don't give them one, give them two. That's bizarre. What's his point? He said, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to get out of your comfort zone. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to do some things that you're not comfortable doing. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like discomfort. We see when Jesus was coming down Calvary's Road of Villa Dolorosa, seen a Jew, Jesus stumbled. Contrary to what Catholics teach, he didn't fall 3 times. If I would ask any of y'all in here, how many times did Jesus fall on his way to the cross? And most of us would say 3. That's not in the Bible. Amen. He wasn't moving fast enough. He was carrying that cross. He was carrying it for you. Amen. He was carrying it for me. And he would have got there without any help, because he came to die. Amen. On the cross. He would have got there. But the Romans, I guess they had other plans. It was getting closer to dark or whatever. They wanted it done. But there was a man there, just standing there. Simon of Cyrene, just coming there for the Passover. And Jesus staggered a little bit, stumbled a little bit. And they said, you, come carry his cross. You don't read nothing about him complaining, saying, "Why?" He had no choice, and he carried that cross. So, as I look at this lesson today, and I want to talk about a 2 mile ministry. Having a 2 mile ministry, and I guess the question is, what kind of ministry do you have? If you were labeled by the event, what would be your event? 100-yard dash. Your Christianity falls in the 100-yard dash category. Get it over with. You know, one word, one issue, one complaint. I'm done. You'd be a half miler. Or would you be a 2 mile ministry? One thing about the 2 mile ministry, I was looking at this and I got 3 weeks of service here. A 2 miler is full of the power of God. Think about that. You have to ask yourself, how full am I of the power of God? And do I know the power of God is working through me? You will know. You will know if you have the power of God working in you. How do I know? You'll be able to do some stuff. You'll be able to do some stuff. You will be able to ask God for some things. And if they pertain to ministry, He will give them to you. Okay? See, we have bad habit asking God for stuff that don't pertain to ministry. See, Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think." How? "According to the power that worketh in us." See, the 2 miler has some power working in them. See, I talk about Matthew getting up and preaching for the first time on the seven stands of the cross. Listen, God is able to do above all that we ask or think. Amen. You know, we say it all the time. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." But what we don't do is tap into that. Why can't I stop this behavior? Why can't I start this behavior? Why can't I make a commitment to this? Why can't I leave this? Why can't I stop doing this? Why can't I start doing this? Are you asking? Do you have the power of God working through you? Do you have a 2 mile ministry? Or you're just a sprinter? Things don't work out right away. You just quit. Right away, you just quit. Listen, I talked to Cindy. Cindy and I talked. She's doing her little calorie counting thing, doing her little diet thing. I said, "Cindy, let me tell you something. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. It's who you are. Amen. Okay? And you're going to have a bad day, especially a member of this church. You're going to have a bad eating day. Because we like to eat. And you just mark it off. Okay, March the 5th, I had a bad eating day. And you just get right back at it. Amen. You just get right back at it. Because Satan will say, "Well, you had a bad eating day. So you might as well just quit because you know you're weak. You know you're sorry, you know." And that's how he goes. That's how he goes. He's an accuser of the brother. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a joy stealer. Amen. You may have had 20 good days. You reconciling and you going around and you ain't cussed nobody out in 20 days. And then you have one day and somebody, you in Walmart, somebody come up the back of your heel with the shopping cart. And you light them up. Mark it down. That's a bad day. Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for your bad day and then get back at it. See, a 2 miler, you're going to run into some obstacles. Amen. Running 2 miles, you're going to run into something. Somebody might cut you off at the turn. You just don't see them quit. Listen, but his power. This is what Paul said in Philippians 2:13. He said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." See, God wants to work in us in such a way that we give Him glory. How? By being His son or daughter. Are you giving God glory? See, a two-miler understands Christian obligations, his or hers. They understand it. They understand what it really means to be a Christian. See, some of us think it's just coming to church. Some of us think, if I go to church, I'm in. And I always say, once they join the church, it's hard to get them saved. Amen. See, once a person joins the church, it's hard to get them saved. What do they mean? I joined the church. You ask them, you saved? Yeah, I go to church. Or they tell you who your pastor is. Listen. A two-miler understands what his obligation is as a Christian. Listen. Philippians 2. Again, I'm at verse number 12. He says this. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved." My beloved. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about people that he loved. This is Paul talking to a church that he loved. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Here you go. "Work out your salvation." How, Paul? "With fear and trembling." Why? I hear you guys sing. I hear you guys pray. Listen, y'all getting it. Okay? We a hell believing church. Amen. Okay? We a church that believe in the devil. We believe in hell. You can call it L-O-F. We believe that.
Amen.
And Paul says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." He's talking to the church he loved. Just in case there was one or two that didn't understand it, that still needed to work it out. I heard Jake when he prayed out. Listen, there may be somebody here, God forbid, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, don't understand what your death, burial, and resurrection really meant. But he said, "For it is God," verse 13, "which worketh in you to will and to do His good pleasure." That's our word again. Now watch this. "Do all things." Now this is a Philippian church. This is a church Paul loved. "Do all things," Philippian church. "Do all things," Christian Bible Baptist. How? "Without murmuring and disputing." See, because God gives us the power to stop all the foolishness. To stop all the bickering and the backbite. That shouldn't be a part of this church. Any church. Any church. Why? Because somebody gonna post on social media what we do. Somebody may come here and say, "Listen, I came and visited that church, all them folks do is bicker and complain. Bigger and complain. Ain't no power working over there."
Right.
See? Listen. Why is that important? Paul says, "That ye, the church, may be blameless and harmless." Listen. Your testimony can harm somebody.
Amen.
The fact that you tell somebody you're a Christian on your job, at your school, okay? And they looking at you, act a doggone fool. Watching you, cussing and lying and fornicating and all that. And you, "I'm a Christian." And they saying, "If you're a Christian, I want nothing to do with Christ, the church, the Lord, none of that." And that's what's happening. A lot of that's happening in our world today. Folks are looking at people who represent the church and say, "I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with that. If that's the church, you a trustee, you a deacon, you a usher, are you singing in the choir, and now you singing." "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the daughters of God, without rebuke." I like that. Without rebuke. Nobody can understand. Nobody got nothing to say about you. Okay? I'll be at the gym. I went to the new Planet Fitness in Austin Town. I seen some young kids dabbling. I wanted to say so bad. Do you know Shayna and Kaden and Bryant? They go to your school. I didn't. I might next time. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst. I like that. And this is what we live in. This is why we do what we do. Because we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
Amen.
It is crooked.
Amen.
And it is perverse.
Amen.
Okay? Now this was written 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, folks. It is perverse. And listen, here's how Paul said we ought to do. 2 miles. Okay? You sprinters, this might not apply to you. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Listen, are you shining? Are you shining? Are you shining all the time? Listen, you need some word in you.
Yeah.
So see the word working in you will make you shine.
Yeah.
Make you shine.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't want to shine. Y'all don't want to shine. I don't want to stand out. Listen, you better. 2 miles will always be thankful. Always be thankful of receiving the truth. See, folks don't want to hear the truth. That's why they go to these sanctified. They don't want to hear the word of truth, so they go to these sanctified, Holy Ghost filled talent shows. That's all it is, a Holy Ghost filled talent show. Everybody dancing and ripping and running and all this kind of craziness because they don't want to hear the truth.
Right.
And they do that long enough and time the preacher come out, everybody tired. Everybody tired. Everybody head nodding. I came to dance. I came to hear the songs and the music and the boastimonies. Let me tell you something. You want to hear the truth, but you ought to be thankful.
Amen.
Listen, Paul talking to this wonderful church, Thessalonian church. He said, for this cause, I like this. He said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Now, thank you God without ceasing. Because when we received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. See, you go to them, Holy Ghost filled talent shows. And you hear the word of men.
Amen.
They said, but it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You that trust in the word of God, you that commit yourself to the word of God will work in you. It work in you. It has to. It's going to desire the word of God. How? How do you say that, Pastor? Because you was born again because you heard the word of God. You weren't born again because the preacher was running around dancing or the choir was singing.
Amen.
You was born again because they was singing the word of God into your soul, into your spirit. You heard the word of God.
Amen.
You heard the word of God. Have you heard the word of God?
Amen.
A lot of us don't even know enough about the word of God to say we heard it. James says this, and y'all know this is one of my favorite verses. He says, in James 1:18, he says, of his own will he begot us, how? With the word of God. And if you were begotten by the word of God, guess what? You're going to constantly and always desire to hear the word of God.
Amen.
You tell me somebody who don't have a desire to hear the sound, biblical, doctrinal preaching, and I'm going to show you someone who probably hasn't been begotten by the word.
Amen.
Your desire is going to follow you. You need it. Because you're going to get yourself in some mess. You're going to catch yourself in some situations. And the only thing going to free you is the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. You're going to be free from some mess you catch yourself in. You know you're doing some stuff. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be with this girl. I shouldn't be with this guy. I know I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But if you never hear the truth, you'll never be confronted in your mess.
Amen.
Paul says this, what a writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4, he said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. Look at this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You hear the word of God. It will question you. It will question your life. It will question you. The word of God will cause you to think, if this fool is right, and I've been called worse, if this foolish man, because see, the Bible said the preaching of God is foolishness to the unsaved. Now, if you're sitting here and what I'm saying sounds like foolishness to you, okay, then you, it may be an indicator of where you at. Because what I'm saying here to someone who has the Spirit of God working through them this week, oh, this week to me, Pastor, you can preach for an hour and a half.
Amen.
But to the foolish guy, I'm like, this dude is crazy. He can't be right, because if he's right, I'm in a world of trouble.
Amen.
Listen, the Word of God will question you. It will confront you in wherever you at in life.
Amen.
It will confront you. Ask me how I know. I know. Because I had to hear it. If I didn't hear it, I wouldn't be saved.
Amen.
Don't tell me you say you haven't heard the Word of God. Because I was in a mess. I was in an ugly situation. And the Word of God just convicted me.
Amen.
I felt like Isaac Hayes. I stand accused. Listen. The Word of God will accuse you. It will charge you. Listen, what's why it's so important that we understand this? Because I got some prayers out there. I got some prayers out there. Okay? And got some prayers out there. It's important that just you hear the Word of God. Because we got some prayers out there. We're praying for some folks. I got some lost folks. I know they die today. I'm not going to see them again.
Amen.
If they die today.
Amen.
Listen, folks. James says this. He says, confess your faults. One to another. Confess them. Get them off of you. Confess your faults. How? One to another. And pray for one another. That you may be healed. See, all sickness ain't disease.
Amen.
See, some of us spiritually sick.
Amen.
Some of us in a situation that are sickening.
Amen.
That are making us sick. Mm-hmm. See, some folks in a situation that makes you sick. One of the people said, well, you know, one of the leading causes of cancer is stress. Stress. So you mean in so much mess. You can be thinking, well, sooner or later I'm going to get caught. And that will stress you out.
Amen.
That will stress you out. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. And that your prayers will be effectual. So when you pray for your sons and daughters and mothers and cousins, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of someone who has confessed their sins, the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. You know, on Tuesday, I was telling you, I buried a good friend of mine. Started with her working at the prison. And we was talking about it. People was talking about how would she remember? They talking about her as she was a good mother, a good co-worker. And we everybody went down the list. Down the list. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how I want to be remembered. Okay? Now I know somebody, well, he was funny. And he was nice. And he loved the church. And he loved his wife. And all that. Let me tell you something. That means nothing.
Amen.
As a man of God, you know how I want to be remembered? Someone who stood and preached the truth.
Amen.
Just I know.
Amen.
And everything else follows that. But he, you know what? I'm going to tell you something about that man. He was crazy. He was a wild man. He was a fool. But he preached the truth.
Amen.
He preached the truth.
Amen. Come on.
Oh, he preached the truth. You know, you remember. Think about Herod. Y'all remember Herod? Herod, the Bible said, when he heard of the fame of Jesus, you know what he thought about? John the Baptist. He thought about John the Baptist when he heard of Jesus. Now, think about this. Think about the people of your that you're close to. When they hear about Jesus, do they think about you? When somebody say Jesus or the church or being saved or repenting, they think about you. I know somebody like that. Herod thought about John the Baptist. He thought about John the Baptist. When Jesus was mentioned, he thought about John the Baptist. He said, John the Baptist had risen from the grave. Why? Because John the Baptist had courage. He had power, and he was confrontational, and he wasn't scared.
Amen.
Oh, he wasn't scared.
Amen.
He wasn't scared. Listen, I'm not going to get through all this. I'm not even going to try.
Amen.
You may be part two of this next week. Listen.
Amen. All right.
Listen, a two-miler, someone who's a man of God, a woman of God, a two-miler understands the difficulties of life.
Mm-hmm.
See, we easily point fingers at folks. Listen, let me tell you something. We all been through. Y'all heard Claire? Okay? Y'all heard her stories how she sit in the nightclub with a little miniskirt song and singing jazz songs and all that? With a cigarette in her mouth and a drink, and I'm telling all her business, ain't I? Okay? Some of y'all was with her. Listen. Joel, by all standards. False standard. Young people, understand this. Get this if you don't get nothing else out of play. Because some people are like, I'm just going through. And, you know, and oh, I'm depressed. And, oh, I'm going through. And I'm going to jump out a window. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, folks. Ain't nothing new under the sun. See, Job said this in Job 14, too. He said, man or woman that is born of woman is of a few days. And full of trouble. See, there's trouble on this side. If you think you're going to get out of here, you know, I shouldn't have no trouble. Let me tell you something. Job was by all standards, he was a billionaire at that time. And you know what he said? That man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He understood. He understood. See? He could have sang the song, Trouble Come My Way. See, trouble coming your way. And the word of the song goes, and I have to what? Cry sometimes. He said, I lay awake at night. But that's all right. Why? Jesus going to fix it. He ain't going to fix it if you don't know him. See, if you know the furnace, we had a problem with the furnace. Vernon knew who to call. See, you have problems in your life, you don't know who to call. Who are you going to call? Somebody always went, Ghostbusters, see? That's what you know. Call Ghostbusters if you want. Let me tell you something. Here's Job again, one more time. Talking about trouble. Some folks don't think they're going to get in trouble. They think life folks, you know, life is just, you know, a bed of roses. Oh, no. He said, listen, Job 6 and 7. He said, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. Let me tell you something. You was born into trouble. And life going to cause you some difficulties. And the greatest man of all, David. David was one of the greatest men of all. God said he was a man after my own heart. Some of us went over this on Wednesday night. But at one of the lowest points in his life. Now here's a man after God's own heart. Whose name is mentioned more times in the Bible than any other. And here's David when he's on the run. And he gets before Abimelech. And guess what he starts doing? Acting like a fool. Acting crazy and slobbering and everything. And when he thought about that, some of us look back. See, we can look back on some of our mess and we can write a song. David looked back on that. You know what he said in Psalm 34? He said this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Watch this. And my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And this is the part I like the most. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Together. What are you? 1 miler, 2 miler. See, Jake, baby Jake there. Every time you preach, the baby goes to sleep. Not today. Listen. 2 milers. I like this part. And I'm going to close probably with this. 2 milers love to be pushed. Love. You're in a 2 mile ministry. You love to be pushed because the word of God will push you. Will push you. I got a guy I train with. And he wanted to train with me. He worked with me after the prison. And so many years he wanted to train with me. He was a little old guy. And he come to the gym and worked with me. He worked with me going on 3 years now. And he twice the size he used to be. Never tells him anything. He's twice as strong as he used to be. And he walk in that gym with me. And I push him. As soon as he get out of the car, I see him. I say, "You weak. You soft. You coward. What's wrong with you today?" He complained. "Oh, my wrist hurt. Oh, my." You know, I'm like. And I just lay into him.
Amen.
And you know what? He's strong now. Now he called me weak and stuff. And old and all that. But the true two-miler want to be pushed. Paul was a pusher. Paul was a pusher. Listen, some of you young folks in here, I know you ain't 2 miles because I start pushing on you. You just get all weak and scrawny. Oh, here he go again with a pushy message. See, we got too many mama raised boys. See, my father, every time he walked by me, he slapped me. I don't even know why. After a while, I thought he loved me. That was his way of saying, "I love you." He was too man. You know, he just walked by me, pow. Body shots. I mean, he just, that's what he did. Every time he walked by me, at first I go, but he just, that's what he did. That's what he did. I do it to my boys. It's a habit. But Paul was pushing. Watch him. As I finished talking about Paul pushing, he pushed Timothy. Timid. He was pushing Timothy. He said, Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and 5, he said, "Timothy, listen." He said, "Timothy, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions." Then he says this. This is crazy. He says, "Do the work of an evangelist." You know, when I think about that, what was an evangelist to do? Evangelist would go to a town, and he didn't care who was there. He ain't know nobody. He didn't see no faces. And you know what he did? He just preached the gospel. Some folks didn't want to hear. "Oh, he all up in my business. Pastor must have told him what I was doing and all that." No. He said, "Timothy, just preach the word and you're going to hit a whole lot of people in the mouth. You're going to step on a whole lot of toes if you just preach the word." And by preaching the word, that's what it says. He says, "And make full proof of thy ministry." You want to make full proof of your ministry? I talk to these ministers, preach the word.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, and just send it on. Want to talk to you because you got it all in. You know, I preach the word.
Amen.
Okay, better to please God than to send them.
Amen.
Sound good up here, don't it? Okay, listen. Here's Paul pushing again. One more time. Two more times. Paul pushing. Push these young preachers. Push these people. Push your people. And Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. He said, "I have fought a good fight." Like that. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let me tell you something. You can fight a good fight, but guess what? Satan don't fight good fights. He hit below the belt. Okay? He'll bite your ear off. See? He don't fight good. He don't fight fair. Paul didn't say, I beat up the devil, but he said, "I fought a good fight." I fought a good fight. You in a fight. You in a fight. The moment you answer the call, this is why I know I don't question it. Listen, don't answer this call. Don't sit here, "I want to be a Christian." Listen, say something. When you stepping in the ring with an enemy that don't fight fair.
Amen.
You stepping in the ring with an enemy that don't fight fair. He don't fight fair. 1 Peter 5, 8 said, "Your enemy, your adversary, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, walking about." I know I messed it all up, but that's it. Y'all know it. Y'all know it. Do you have a short memory? Oh, it's important. That's so important. I know I'm moving along. How's your memory? I'm not talking about Alzheimer's or nothing like that. Okay? And I know I got bad memory with names and stuff. I'll mess you up. But in this business, as a 2-miler, that's why I love some of y'all. Some of y'all got short memories. It's important. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 3. Paul says this. He said, "Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind." You have to. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is an accuser of the brother. And then you can't forget. Satan's going to always bring it to your memory. You ain't no good. You're going to hell. You might as well enjoy life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let me tell you something. Paul says this. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, so many saved folks, and some of you guys out here, this so set up for mediocrity. You know, you'll take a C if you can get an A. You just don't care like that. And well, you know what? I got a C. Easily could have got an A because you don't have no press in you. You ain't got no press in you. You know, I mean, listen. And I say it all the time. Y'all hear me? This world we live in, the competition for these jobs, ain't nobody looking for average.
Amen.
Ain't nobody looking for average. People looking for greatness. They want the best. They want the most for their money. Listen. I know. Talk about Jesus. Got to talk about Jesus. Jake put me out there and said, you got to talk about Jesus now. You know, I didn't pray that you're going to talk about Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus was a pusher too. He was a pusher too. Listen, watch how he pushed Peter. Peter had denied him 3 times. Okay? We didn't deny him 300 times.
Amen.
Or maybe 3,000 for some of us. We didn't deny him. We know God and talk to us. Jesus and talk to us. Listen, you messed up. Get right with God. Get right with God. And then we deny him. We deny him. We deny our parents. We deny our loved ones. We deny our teachers. We deny everybody that's trying to help us. We just deny them. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus said, before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. But thanks be to the compassion of Christ. Peter was ready to quit. Had his fishing poles. And God met him in the person of Jesus Christ. John 21:16. He says this. He said, so when they had dined, I like this, Jesus said unto Peter, unto Simon Peter, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, or Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now you put your thieves down. Whatever your thieves is, that's what, okay? Because you got something you love more than Jesus. You got something right now you waiting to do. Okay? Something you waiting to do. Some of y'all waiting to, can't wait to get home and get in front of that PlayStation. I'm going to stay in front of that thing till Cindy turn off the Wi-Fi. Whatever your thieves is. Okay? Might be Netflix. You never know. The Cavs might be on. You might want to go home and watch golf. You got to go to a Golden Corral. I don't know what your thieves is, but you got a thieves. Okay? He says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs, feed my babies. And he said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You got some work to do. You got some work to do. He said, I'm the great shepherd. I'm saying to you, you need to be a shepherd too. Feed my sheep. Verse 17. And he said unto him a third time, oh my goodness, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now some of us in here, we you know, oh how I love Jesus. Oh how I love Jesus. We sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because, and we don't love Jesus. We're just singing. Because soon we get out of here, we're going to be singing something else. And it ain't going to be talking about loving Jesus. We love Jesus when we're singing in here. But we get out of the car, we turn it on whatever Papa. Okay? Jesus knew that. He said, listen, Simon. He said unto him, verily, verily, It's going to cost you to love me. He says it's going to cost you to love me, Simon. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost everybody in here something if you're going to love Jesus. This ain't no regular kind of love. He says it's going to cost you. Nothing's going to cost Peter. He said, Peter, this is what's going to cost you to love me. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee. He said, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walk where thou would. When you didn't know me. Okay? But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. Why are you saying this? He said, Peter, it's going to cost you something to love me. See, we got too many folks that love Jesus, but it ain't costing them nothing. It ain't cost them a friend. It ain't cost them a dollar. It ain't cost them nothing. And if I was to say I love Cindy and it didn't cost me nothing, and if I didn't do nothing for her, you know what she would say? You don't love me. You don't love me. Now you compare your love, whoever you love, compare that with your love to Jesus and say, is there any love there at all? Is there any love there at all? I love Jesus. He said, Peter, it's going to cost you something. He said, this he spake signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Listen, folks. Glorify God, it ain't easy. It ain't always fun, neither. Because especially young folks, everybody having fun. Everybody doing their thing, and I didn't get invited, and I'm not cool if I follow Jesus. Let me tell you something. It ain't cool dying without Jesus neither.
Amen.
So let the cool ones do their thing. But there's nothing wrong with being a fool for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with being a fool before Jesus. Let me say this as I close. I'm going to finish this next week. Let me say this. You might say, he's going to close. He's going to close sooner or later. Listen. Two verses. Maybe three, and I'm done, honestly. Listen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How about that? How about that? One more. Colossians 1 and 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, and increasing, and increasing what? In the knowledge of God. Ask yourself that. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? You have to if you're saved. You have to if you're a man of God. You have to if you're a child of God. Your knowledge has to be increasing, because if it's not increasing, it's decreasing. Listen, let me say this. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to put something down. I thought about this. I wonder how it's going to work in this sermon. I knew I put it in here. Think about Mary. Mary Magdalene. Listen. They was having a dinner. And Jesus showed up. And you know when Jesus showed up, you know what Mary did? She put everything down. See, some things you're going to have to put down when Jesus come around. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says she was at the feet of Jesus. She was at the feet of Jesus. You don't know, back in the old days, I ain't that old. But back in the old, I'm older than a lot of y'all. Some of y'all don't remember when TVs had legs on them. Jeremy, you don't remember that? What you laughing at? TVs had legs on them. Roy, you had one of the TV with legs on them. 26 inches. You had them. You had the whole neighborhood over. You know why they put legs on TVs? Because they were like idols. So they put the legs on TVs. So they like people. They got a leg and you sit at that TV. We sit up in front of that TV. We ain't had no remote control. They had to get up and change it, but we was glued to that TV. Let me say this, people. Whose feet are you sitting under? Because you're sitting under somebody's feet. Listen, you're either sitting under the Lord's feet or you're sitting under Satan's feet.
Amen.
You're sitting somewhere and somebody is feeding you. Somebody is feeding you. Somebody is indoctrinating you. Somebody is teaching you. Somebody is loving you. And there's only two choices. It's only two choices.
Amen.
Whose feet are you sitting under? Are you a two-miler? I guess that's as we close. Are you a two-miler? Or are you a spreader? Father, thank you.